Who sleeps when your wife is still, our tummy is giving that direction. She's turning the night. The baby is active. The baby hasn't yet come out. The baby is not fully developed. Sometimes she gets tired. Sometimes she cannot express to you what she's feeling. But the emotions of the baby begin to affect her. Her emotion changes. Hormones change. Their mood swings. Things are going on because she's carrying something. Another life is on the inside of her. You can't see it yet. On the outside, she doesn't look too good. Swollen nose in some cases. Okay, so you know, so you can tell I'm experienced. Swollen legs in some cases. Bloated face. The kind of makeup cannot cover. You know, when you are so heavy that people are saying, sorry, Epele. People are even saying, come and sit down here. Come and sit down here. The process, 9 months of having a body that doesn't look like your own. There's traveling going on the inside because the child is forming. You can't wait to see the child. But as soon as the travail is over, there's a push. And the child comes forth. Bible says, immediately the woman forgets all the 9 months of suffering because the gift that is seen surpasses the pain. Now, God decided to use that motif in scriptures to describe spiritual activity and birthing purposes upon the earth. That was what he was saying to Eve in the garden. Look at Genesis chapter 3 from verse 15. Redemption themes spoken by Moses in parable form. Redemption themes. He's not just talking about having a baby. No. You know, there will be enmity between thee and the woman. That's the proper way to read it. And a seed. And your seed and your seed. And you shall bruise the seed. Look at next verse. Unto whom I said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow you will what bring forth. That is in pain. Pain is not a result of sin. Pain simply means travail before something can be what? Pushed for. That is, there's energy and effort involved before the baby can what? Come out. That's what it means. It's not a result of sin. There has to be a pushing for it because he's talking here about redemption. How do I know? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 13. You will soon see what God was trying to say. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not what? Deceived. But the woman being what? Deceived was where? In the transgression. Look at next verse. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue what? In faith and love and holiness with what? Sobriety. Now, she shall be saved there in childbearing. Means she will be saved in the child that will what? Comfort. She will be saved in the child that will comfort. So, Eve typifies women. And it says there's a woman that will bring forth a man child. And as soon as that man child comes, the salvation of that same woman and every other woman is in what? That man child. That's what he's talking about. So God uses pregnancy, conception, and delivery to conceptualize redemption throughout scriptures. Let us know that there is a co-laboring with God, spiritually now speaking. That is, every single human being has a womb of the spirit. Where you and God labor to push out what? Divine purpose. Every single involved. So the women are given to us to see what is going on in the unseen. A woman conceives. You were not there when she conceived. It was between her and her husband. But you will soon know she has conceived. It's just a matter of time. Evidence will soon start showing that something happened in the secret place. Now that's also a parable. That when it comes to you and God, nobody is there. But everybody is there when the results begin to show. Are you with me this morning? Because we have to understand that God has chosen that in partnership with us in Christ Jesus, his plans and purposes will come forth on the surface of the earth. And so it's littered throughout scripture this way. That there has to be a conception. And when the Bible says conception, it includes delivering the process. That you have to travail. You're carrying, it can't be seen. But you are praying. Why? It is a spiritual conception. Why are you dissatisfied many times where you are? Why does everything seem to be good on the outside? And yet on the inside there's this discontent. And many times when we are now afflicted or we face difficulty in those situations, we waste such moments and such seasons because we just assume they're just one of those things. No, it's not one of those things. It's an opportunity for you to turn around to seek God so that something can be one conceived during that situation. Glory to God. So that something can be conceived during that situation. That's God's plan. God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of affliction. No, it's one that delivers us. But then God will use the situation that is challenging and trying to call your attention to something you likely been ignoring. And spiritual sensations are very real. They almost feel physical. Have you been there before? When God is trying to communicate to you that somebody's life is in danger, and suddenly there's this heaviness, this sense of foreboding, this sense of disaster. Nothing around you speaks of it. How many of you have been there before? You are just heavy for no reason. What are you meant to do? God is rolling his emotions upon you. He expects you as his partner to pray. God is not upon the earth. When I say as a man, he's not upon the earth. He's only here as a man through us. It is men that pray. Why? Because the heart belongs to men. So for the activity of God to be the same, God has to be found praying through a man. Hallelujah. For the activity of God to be seen, God has to be found praying while through a man. Say, I'm that man. Say, this is I'm that man. You are that man, you are that woman. God has to look for somebody to pray through. No matter how much you confess, no matter how many prayer service solution centers you go to, some answers can come. Because there's a process by which they come. That's why a lot of us still don't know the critical and crucial role that God has called us to play. So we handle everything on the surface. I like this, so I will do it. I feel like going there, so I will just do it. It means spiritually you are not alert. That's what it means. We were here sometime last year. I sensed an urgency to pray. And I called for a prayer meeting. Now, you know, when I call for short meetings, I just throw it open to everybody. When I say throw it open now, I make it act like it's optional. Just to watch those who respond. And one of the people who came, and some people responded, I came. And you know, that's how a pastor also knows those who are serious and those who are not. Because they say it's optional, you didn't come. Why? Because there's a spirit of slumber upon you. And you're not aware. That you're not even where you're supposed to be spiritually at all. When you're dodging prayer meeting, just tell yourself, I'm sick. I'm spiritually very sick. That is, you are consciously dodging all those praying. You know, you are not well. But the bad part of not being well is not being well. It is not knowing that you're not well. It's worse than not being well. If you're not well and you know, you go for health. You go for medical checkup. You don't even know you're not well. So you don't think there's any need to go anywhere. You say, I'm fine. And you're not fine. Spiritually, you are slumbering. Seasons are coming. You don't even know a season has just come. So you're just taking everything. You are listening to the news. Your life is run by news in Nigeria. And you're not even aware that spiritual things are passing you by. That there are moments and seasons in God that God is releasing. But because your senses have been so dulled by what the activities are materializing, you don't even know that a season is upon you. And just there's a time. There's a season and a time for every purpose. That means you can miss a season. And brothers and sisters, when you miss a season, it's difficult to recover it. Some seasons only come once. In Luke 22, Jesus took disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. He went apart to pray. He told them, watch with me. Pray with me. The hour is upon us. He came back and made them sleeping. First time. Couldn't you watch me for just what? 1 hour. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Couldn't you walk for 1 hour? He went and came back second time again, they were praying. He said, you are still sleeping. The third time, when he came back, he said, it's too late now. Keep sleeping. The time has passed. No wonder everybody fled when they took Jesus. They would have been standing. They all fled. They lost the season. There was a time to pray. There's time God will tell you, don't pray again. It's too late. That season is over. May you not miss your season. In the name of Jesus. And listen carefully. Why do we have way too much entertainment? Why do we have way too much of comfort? Comfort is good. But comfort is not meant to immunize you from spiritual sensitivity. No, 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 no. God wants you to have comfort, but he doesn't want comfort to have you. There's a difference. When comfort has you, you're no longer spiritually sensitive. That's what the problem is. This is Zion's process. As soon as Zion travailed, it's talking about prayer. The kind of prayer where you pick up the heartbeat of God. So God, sometimes dissatisfaction comes on the inside. Yet on the outside, everything seems to be fine. That's how you know that there is a season coming. Nothing satisfies you, not even food. Nothing gives you pleasure anymore. The same thing you used to do. I've told people many, many times. If you are going to sack you in a place of work, and you're a child of God, you should never be surprised. If you are surprised, something is wrong. Seriously wrong. Because it means you are finding out whenever that person is finding out. How can unbelievers be planning that you don't know? Even if you don't know by direct revelation, you should know by certain things on the inside that there's this discomfort that, you know, as like, I don't know. The way they are praising me, instead of me to be feel good, I feel something is wrong somewhere. Instead of you to go step back and go and pray, but because you are so dull, you don't know that that season of prayer has come for you to pray now. So that it doesn't go the wrong way. It can be used as an opportunity of God to what? Elevate you and to lift you. Hallelujah. I need to let us know the urgency of the season that we're in. And that's why through our scriptures, we find passages, places, where that urgency came, where burdens landed upon people. And as they began to pray with the energy of God's Spirit, they began to see results beyond the ordinary. How do those burdens come sometimes? Sometimes it comes by prophecy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to what? The prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest what? War, a good what? Warfare. So prophecies have a way of sensitizing you to what God is doing per time. Let me ask you a question. Have you received prophecies in this assembly? Have you gone back to check in the last 3-4 years how many prophecies you received and how many you saw manifest? Have you gone back to check? Did you check whether all you were just saying yes, yes and amen? No, no. Many times, prophecies will be given to stir us up in the place of prayer. This is the will of God. And what God wills is not what I am seeing. That means there is a disparity in what God has said and what I am seeing and experiencing in my life. What does that mean? I am meant to use that opportunity to step over into the place of prayer. I'm not just to fold my hands when God is ready. God is always ready. No, it means whatever you heard by prophecy ought to be battered in the place of prayer. That's what it means. You don't just fold your hands and just wait for it to come to pass. No. You are meant to partner with God in place of prayer. And that's one of the reasons why many things slip through our fingers. They slip from our grasp. Because we're not holding on in the realm of the spirit. Anything you want to do as a Christian that's a major project that does not have spiritual representation, there's no guarantee of success. Let me say it again. I was talking about that lady that came for that particular meeting. And I saw a burden was upon her. I moved closer, I began to pray. I had a similar burden. So I moved closer, I began to pray. Every other person was just aloof. A few of us had burdens also. But I just moved closer to relieve out of the burden. She prayed out things. Prayed out her family. Prayed out situations and things that are meant to happen. And when she was giving her testimony, she told me, she said, the sum of money that was in there for the project, she has never seen it before. Nobody in her family had that kind of money. Yet all the money came in quick succession. Money was even the least of the challenges. It was the doors they were meant to go through. International doors that was even a major issue. Who will open the door for them? It has to be an operation of God. And as she was crying, as she was groaning, as she was crying, as she was groaning, something was being born. It has to be born here first before you sit on the outside. Listen, all this struggling to visa office is not your portion in Jesus' name. You didn't hear me. No, you don't like that one now. All this struggling to go and queue, struggling to use backhanded methods, is God faithful? I say, is God faithful? Why do you need underhanded methods? Why can't you trust God from start to finish? Why can't you bat the process in the spirit? If it's true that God would desire you to walk along that line. Sometimes there's fear. Maybe this is not the will of God. Once there's a maybe, pray until there is a surety. Don't walk with God on a maybe. Don't do that. Your life is deliberate in Christ Jesus. There's something about your life that's deliberate. There's nothing accidental about you. How can you be using your life as for gamble, sporting bets? I cleanse my mouth in Jesus' name. I don't bet though. That's the only way I can remember right now. When you say a profusion of those things, some of you are thinking, as I say, we should not bet. Continue. 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 Your senses are being dulled every day. You know what they are telling you? Your success is based on chance. That's what they are telling you, and you believe it. It's only 5,000. It's not the amount of money that's the problem. It's your heart. You think your life is based on luck. The root of the luck, by the way, is Lucifer. That's the root word. I'm not going to that today. It may happen. What if? You know why betting is not good? Let me tell you. Somebody has to lose for you to win. I hope you know that. Or you don't know. It's not somebody's money they will carry and give you. Okay. I will not say anything here because I say this pastor said, Pastor, teach on prayer. Stop all these things. Leave that area. I can feel the vibes. I've left it. Amen. Some of those things are designed to turn our sense and our understanding to the sensitivity of God's Spirit upon our hearts. We have such a precious gift. The gift of the Spirit of God on the inside. That is, the mind and counsel of God per time can be passed across to your heart. Anywhere you are on the surface of the earth, if you keep your heart in that direction. This is how Zion operates. As soon as Zion travailed, not talking on the outside. No. It's first within, then without. But you are shouting first without. You started with advertisement. Eh? No. You start with prayer. Even the shop you want to open, you start with prayer. The location, we start with prayer. The venture, you start with prayer. You don't do anything that, this is what is now in fashion. Everybody is going. So me too, I'm going. The wind that will blow everybody will also blow you. That's the problem. They're looking for greener pastures. The pastures appear within first. And it must be pastor God is. The pastor that is green is one God is pointing you to. He can tell you, go to Adoekiti. That's where Simon said, Doesn't sound like California. You think it's in the name? No, it's in the location. It's in where the Father has appointed you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with me this morning? I'm trying to communicate to you the urgency of God's Spirit this hour. About why we need to pray. And I'm not talking about selfish praying. I'm using natural illustrations to convey spiritual realities to you. That many times, that situation you're in, that discomfort, that dissatisfaction, God will, so to speak, use it to move you into the fullness of His will and plan for you. Because many times, until affliction comes, many of us won't pray. We won't pray. You are so comfortable. I know how many hours you used to pray, how long you used to cry to God until money came. You believe God for every penny. Now you don't believe God, you know, as in there are monthly subscriptions. There's enough money to even dash people and everything like that. So there's everything. So you are comfortable now, and it's mirroring how you are in your heart. Because there's no hunger for anything new. If you take regular trips outside the country whenever you want, you can afford to buy anything. Unconscious, if you're not careful, that is okay on the outside, but it should never be a reflection of the situation of your heart. Your heart must keep looking for the next thing that God wants to do. Are you with me this morning? Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more when I'm not around, walk out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Next verse. For it is who? God. Which what? Worketh in you both what? Will and to do. Of whose pleasure? Of whose pleasure? Is it of your pleasure or His pleasure? Okay. So, part of the fight that Jacob fought to become Israel is that Jacob is man's idea. Israel is a prince of God. Jacob will be blessed. He will have divine interventions. But Israel will carry the legacy of God. There's a difference. So Jacob had to die before crossing the ford so that Israel can live. That's a parable. The new creation must come out of the old. Your true identity in Christ must be seen. Jacob can bless you, but Israel can bless you. It is Israel that will lay hands upon his sons and prophesy. Jacob can't. I hope you understand the language I'm using. So, the Israel of God had to come out, and the struggle was within. So, Jacob wrestled all night, praying, until God prevailed. It is said that until Jacob prevailed. When I say Israel prevailed, that is God winning. It's God's good pleasure that came out of that encounter. That's what it means. So that means there is a dimension of you you have never seen. God wants to introduce you to it, but you keep holding on to the past. You still want to do things the same way. I'm going to say, we cannot step into the new with this attitude, with this behavior, with this mindset. I watch some of us, and as a pastor, I'm praying for you. And one of the things I'm praying is that may you not see trouble. May you not see problem. May you not see affliction. You know, it's a serious prayer. Somebody says, why? Because some of us, before God can work out what he wants to work out, will crumble. Because of the force of the challenges that come. Look at what David said in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, look at verse 6-7. David was a prophet. Did he become king? Yes. But how did he become king? A process. What was that process? There was suffering along the way. What was God using the suffering? God didn't introduce the suffering. The suffering came. What did God use the suffering to perfect us? David focused on God. God used the suffering to bring out of David that kingly and prophetic grace, which is what God has called him to be from his mother's womb. Look at verse 6-7. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have won. Kept your word. Look at the next verse. Now you are good and do good. You teach me. Teach me your statutes. Next verse. He said, the proud have forged a lie against me. That's part of the affliction David faced. But I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. That is, I will not be distracted when the challenges come. I will not turn to left or to right. I will just keep my focus. They are accusing me. They are condemning me. And all kinds of things are coming my direction. They are even telling lies against me. But I'm not going to turn to the left or to the right. I'm going to keep my focus upon you. I've learned now. Answering them back is not the secret to victory. The secret is focusing on your word. Look at next verse. Their heart is as fat as grapes, but I delight in your law. Look at next verse. It is good for me that I've been what? Afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. When it says good for me, it's not saying affliction is good. It's saying I'm using the opportunity of the challenges that came to discover more of God in my life. What's David saying? I began to pray. God said, I've anointed you as next king. But I'm running from pillar to post. I'm running from one cave to the other. Something. There's something that is coming. By the time David became king, the whole of Israel accepted, it has never happened before, that every single man and woman will eventually submit and accept David as their king. That's why today, prophetically speaking, no king has ever been like David. None. When it comes to his heart, David is a man after what? That means heaven's purposes were what was. Did you notice that David was not moved by wealth? He wasn't moved by riches? He had everything in abundance? He wasn't moved by those things? No, he wasn't. Unlike Solomon, whose heart went astray because of strange women, David's heart was fully focused because everything David did, he prayed it out first. Shall I pursue? Shall I overcome? Will I recover? It was prayer. It came from prayer. It didn't come from military might. 1 Samuel chapter 30. It didn't come from military might. There was David, a mighty man of battle, yet a man who never lost a battle, and yet David kept praying. God, should I pursue? Should I overtake? Will I recover? All David kept praying. That means he never rested in the past victory. What do you want us to do now? One battle David went for, God told him, stay. Until you hear the sound of marching in the trees, then you can go ahead. That is, you hear the heavenly host. When you hear the sound, you can go ahead. That is, a man who was in communication with heaven regularly. David was a man of prayer. And most of the Psalms came in that place of prayer. So David was somebody who traveled constantly until things were born supernaturally. Is God trying to tell you something? Yes. So think about it. How many ventures? How many things have you stepped out to do? And prayer was not at the root of it. You just decided. You just woke up. I'm going to go this direction. I'm going to go this way. You just proposed. In human language, you just proposed and disposed. And you were opposed. And you just proposed and disposed, and then you were opposed. And then you fell flat on your face, and you're wondering, how come? And the Bible says, God is for me. He was for you. It was meant to be for you first in the place of prayer, where you were meant to what? Travail. You were meant to travail. God will use the situation, the opposition, the affliction, to move you into the place of prayer so that you can see it's not about the challenge or the opposition. It's about what God wants to what? Bring out in you. And this is not 3 minutes prayer. It's not glory, praise God, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, it's done. It's not done. It's not done. If you pray that way now in this season, you are done for. It's not done at all. You are just starting. It's not like it's not kind of way you have to say, hey, God, you start prophesying. Don't prophesy, just pray. Keep praying. You push. Imagine a woman just conceiving now. You go and find her at the hospital. Madam, you are 3 weeks pregnant. I said, by tomorrow I'll put to bed. The doctor will show you the door. You can be going. He won't be here. You know, you don't tell the doctor, except by revelation, that I'm only going to labor for 30 minutes. You don't see what I'm saying by faith, though. No. The same way you cannot say, I'm going to have the baby for only 3 weeks and you comfort. It cannot be an earthly baby. You want to go have a bunny heart? 9 months must be. No, 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 no. God uses that imagery to let us see that there's a bit of discomfort involved. There's a bit of doing away with certain things. The woman is not, nobody's afflicting the woman. It's the child she's carrying that's making her feel what? Uncomfortable. For a season. And the joy that will come, imagine the child you carry for 9 months. And that's, I noticed mothers doing that. You carry that child for 9 months. One day, you're looking at the same boy as he's coming. He's taller than you. Bigger than you. The boy can carry you. Whatever God brings out of you will sustain you. Will feed you, will nurture you, will nourish you. And you will always be known for that thing that came to you, even though it carries God's signature. And it's something that the enemy can't stop. Oh, glory to God. Are you with me this morning? Oh, I'm trying to tell you my heart. Because this urgency is not small. It's much. It's much. And like I said, there are personal things that God does for us that will come that way also. But the aim is not that personal thing. It's trying to train you, to teach you, to move you to the point where you now realize that there is much more than that personal need. Genesis chapter 17, chapter 18. God gave Abraham Isaac first. Because that was Abraham's cry. Before Abraham could pray for Abimelech, which is getting the gospel across to them, Abraham had to pray for them. For them to receive, he had to pray. But all Abraham was praying for before was Isaac. When Isaac has come, I hope you will see that you are a prophet to the nations. And it's not about Isaac. That's how God operates. Glory to God. Look at 1 Samuel. Let me show you another instance. Before you go to 1 Samuel, look at Psalm 80. There's so many scriptures running through my head. Because whenever God wants to pass across that kind of urgency, he will show you two scriptures, different places where it has occurred. So you won't think it's a fluke. It's not a one-off. Psalm 80. Are you there? Verse 17. It says, let thy hand be upon the man of your right hand. Say, I'm a man of God's right hand in Christ Jesus. The man of God's right hand is Christ. Okay? Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom you made strong for yourself. He's talking about how he raised Jesus from the dead. So the one who he made strong for himself was what? Christ. Now look at next thing. So will not we, that's Old English, do this or raise Christ so that we will not go back from thee, quicken us or make us alive, that we may call upon your name. Let the burdens come. Let the strength come. Let it come so that we will not turn back from you. Let there be a continuous strength so that we will give ourselves consistently to what? Prayer. It has to be continuous. After I give back to something now, that is one season. And that season will come, I will need to give back to something else. I ought to be used by now to giving back to things in the spirit. One of the things we are praying for instance, and thank God for Brother Stephen that I picked up about growth and increase. We have a project one for one, isn't it? But we have to pray those people first. We give back to them first. So that when you are talking to them, you are just concluding the matter. The matter was originally concluded because you prayed, you saw men. When you are preaching, why do you preach and nobody listens to you? You didn't pray now. You think ordinary ones can woo men? No. 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 A.A. Allen was born in a house where the parents were into alcohol. They were bootleggers. It's an American term. For secretly distilling alcohol and selling behind these things without the license or permission. They were bootleggers. So from a baby, they used to drop alcohol into his mouth because they were very poor. So when he wanted the child to stop crying and sleep, he dropped alcohol there. That before the child is 10, he's already a drunkard. You can imagine that kind of thing. Did you call for it? And God is humorous. That is the kind of man that God calls into ministry. While he's still drunk. That you. The Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. So that God can take all the glory. That's what it means. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that is in perishable containers. So that the excellency of the power that is seen, only God can be given praise. It definitely can come from man. That's what he's trying to say. So they'll pour alcohol down. He will go to parties and, you know, that's the only kind of life he knew. But there was a group of Christians in a local assembly not far away. Now, they even began praying for his salvation because he was always causing disturbance. I hope you understand. So it was even for a selfish reason at first. He was always causing disturbance. If you can get this guy saved, I mean, the problem in this area will be less. This vicinity, this area. You know, it's like praying for the Agbero in that area. When you get the Agbero saved, his followers, there's hope. So they were praying. And then one day, as they were praying and they were batting a bind, he sneaked into a particular meeting and he got gloriously saved. And that one man, that assembly of believers, they didn't know what they were doing. That is, you only knew about the travail. You felt the bed pangs. You felt God walking through you, putting that desire in your heart to pray that way. But you didn't know how far reaching the battle will be. One single man. Only God can tell how many souls were saved through A.A. Allen, how many lives were changed through A.A. Allen, how many ministers were raised through A.A. Allen, how many people were healed under the ministry of A.A. Allen. One man that was born out of some people's prayer, far-reaching consequences. Glory to God. Dr. Kerrigan said that we have more conversions than real births, and we need more real births, more new births. Not just conversions. And we can only get that as a church if we're praying. Look at the seat next to you. Look at the seat next to you. Look at the person sitting next to you. Tell him or her, will you pray with me this season? Will you pray for new souls? Will you pray for people to fill this assembly? Will you pray for more than one service? For 2-3 services? Will you be willing to be used of God to bring people in from outside? For every soul you pray for, you don't know what they will become. Maybe you are betting another soul of status. Maybe in your hand, God has entrusted with another Archbishop Idausa. As soon as Zion traveled, whatever is born will bear God's signature if it's born that way when you are praying. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. So Anna rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon his seat by the post of the temple. This is Anna now. Now if you go back, look at verse 5. Let's start from verse 5. See what happens. Unto Anna he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Anna, but the Lord has shut her womb. That's Old Testament language for she was barren. Okay? In Old Testament, everything that happens good or bad, God is responsible. I hope you know that. So, you know, the servants of Job, God sent fire from heaven. What is fire from heaven? Lightning. The people that wrote it would have told them that even in Nigeria, we have a God that sends thunder and lightning. Here in Nigeria, he's a man. They just send it to you wherever you are. You've not seen them before. If you steal something, they will send it to you. That's the God that sent this one also. I'm just telling you, before they go, they send lightning here. You don't even have to travel far here. Not Bible days here. They send it here. Unto Anna I gave a worthy portion, for he loved Anna, but the Lord has shut up. Next verse, quickly. And her adversary, that's the other woman, provoked that soul. That's affliction around. Something's making you uncomfortable. There was one thing I saw about Anna. She didn't make a mistake of facing her adversary. You are not the problem. He'd be answering back. After he's my husband, he doesn't love you. She said, yes, he doesn't love me. I shall have children. Where is your own? She was provoking her. She had sons. Yet the husband loved her more, yet she couldn't conceive. She had a choice to face the woman and confront her or to put all the aggression in God's direction. She had a choice. She could try to answer back. That's not the solution. That's not the secret. So the person who is contending you in your, with your place of work, or whose shop is opposite yours, and you think that it's because this woman doesn't have no selling, you are missing it. You are looking in the wrong direction. The other colleague who is telling things behind you that you are trying to discredit by doing the same thing. No. You're already losing out. You have a superior countenance. Hallelujah. There's something higher and bigger in you than trying to answer back. When you start manipulation, start praying. We know that all things work together for good. For them that want, love God. Those who are called according to His, except you are not called to His purpose. You want to be playing their game, flesh for flesh? No, the harm of flesh shall not prevail. No. You are empowered by God's Spirit. So she provoked herself for to make her fret, get her anxious, because the Lord has shut her womb. Next verse, quickly. Quickly. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Look at next verse. Then said Elkanah to her, Elkanah husband to her, Hannah, why are you pressed down? Why are you not eating? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than what? That's toasting. It doesn't work now. It won't work now. Next verse. So she wrote up and I'm getting drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon his by the post of the temple. Next verse. And she was in bitterness also, that there was heaviness on the inside. All the aggression was there. All the pain was there. She didn't waste the pain. She carried the pain in the place of prayer. Now, it looked as though all she needed was just a son. But something happened as she began to pray. Now, many times when God will redirect your desire in the place of prayer, that's as you begin to pray, He will redirect your desire. This is what you are asking for. This is what we are giving. Abraham, what do you want? A son. What we have to offer here is nation. You are thinking of one son. Abraham, I'm thinking of nation. Which one do you want? He said, I'll take the nation. I'll take the nation. So I'm praying now, not for a son. I'm praying for what? A nation. And God said that you are praying for a nation, I will still give you the son. But the aim is a nation. To have a son sometimes doesn't require prayer. But you have this nation. Abraham, I need you to pray. So I've used what is ailing you as a motivation to bring you to what? Pray. When you and I meet, there will be a conception. And once you have conceived, we push through until something is born upon the face of the earth. A father of many nations, have I made thee. Are you with me this morning? See what it says. She was in bitterness, so I'm praying unto the Lord. And she vowed. This is when you know it's not a night prayer. How did she know to vow? How did she know to utter in the place of prayer what she said about the child she's going to have? Look at what she said. He said, if you look indeed on the affliction of your handmaid, and remember me and not forget your handmaid, I will give unto your handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Do you notice she didn't consult the husband? Okay, you didn't notice that. Mama said, you are who? My own son. She didn't consult because this is not natural. This is spiritual activity going on. How did she know that we don't have time to go through it today? But at that point in time, the lamp in the temple, which was never meant to go out, was about to go out. And there needs to be a priest there that would tend the lamp. And Eli was not partially blind. And none of his sons were responsible. So God needed another priest to replace Eli before Eli passed on. So God was in need of a priest. And Anna was in need of a child. Are you with me this morning? Anna, you were born for great things. The challenge of not having a child has made you think it's all about the child. It's about something bigger than a child. Nobody can forget Samuel in Israel. He's the only prophet who did not err. The only one who did not err. The only one. The testimony of Samuel was such that there was no other prophet like Samuel that God did not allow a single word to fall to the ground. Did you hear that on any other prophet? The closest to it is Moses. That was Samuel's testimony. He didn't allow. In Yoruba, they say, Oluomo. One that is better than 10 sons. Now, all this delay, you will now say, God, I thank you for the delay. If this is what is going to come, I'm glad there was what? A delay. Because when you came on the scene, though it's a delay, you didn't plan the delay, but you turned the delay around as an apology for your good to comfort. You now know God has never, say God has never forgotten me. Yeah, but there's a process. There's a place God wants you to be in his plans, an intimacy in place of prayer. That is, that which seems to be confusing you, that which seems to perplex you. You are not meant to waste that season of perplexity. You are meant to allow it to drive you to the Father in place of prayer and begin to go through the bad pangs and push out in prayer. Instead of complaining, is it only me? Nothing I do works. You are just reinforcing failure. That's what you are doing. There is no power in that confession. No power in that statement. Every time I try to do this, I always fail. This is the third job they are sacking me from. You are just reinforcing failure. It looks like you have bad luck, but you have a good God. You've not yet found out, what does the Father want to do? All I've been asking for all this while is what I want to do. And that's where the mistake is. You know, I heard Pastor Iyabue, when he said that, when you hear great men speak, their greatness is in their story. I heard him say, he said, 1 year, you pray, Lord, every year when they're praying for Holy Ghost meeting, when they're praying for their convention, I pray, Lord, bless them. Lord, heal. Lord, do more miracles, do everything. So one evening, he was praying that same prayer, has been praying every single year. God just said that, have you even asked me what I want? Say, went quiet. That's God interrupting you. Have you even tried to ask me, what about what I want? He said, Father, I'm sorry. What do you want? He said, for the next 21 days, don't ask for anything, just praise me. Ah. Say, they got to the meeting. Before he started preaching, miracles started busting out. In the land, like, why am I struggling? Why was I, as in, laboring as though I'm the one, I want people blessed more than God wants. And he said, just do this, just praise me for it. Don't ask for anything. Now, it sounds very simple. If you are used to, give me, now, do, even don't dance, now, do. How we are used to. God now says, don't ask anything for 7 days. Let me tell you, by day two, Father, I thank you. I just thank you, and I thank you. And I just thank you, I thank you. You know why? It's your flesh that you should thank him. Maybe I say, I mean, I didn't even hear God well. But Father, I thank you. I just thank you. But like your flesh is like, even like, if I'm really praying, I should be asking for something. Who told you? If you don't know what to say, pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit take over your vocabulary. And let the mind of Christ come out through your prayer. So that you and God tag team to bring forth his plans and his purposes upon that. As we continue, I'll show us deliberately in the book of Genesis, Moses recorded the story of at least 3 barren women for us. And the people that they were married to were servants of God in order to bring forth God's plans and purposes. Started with Rebecca, and then Rachel, and Sarah also. Each of them, and each of them, their husbands had to pray and look for God. And when they found God, the kind of children that came out, they were carriers of heavenly legacy. Even to the point of that of Rachel. When Rachel had none, and Leah kept having, and Leah, just like Penina here, was making fun of Rachel. Jacob prayed. And when Jacob prayed, the first child Rachel will have, she called him Joseph. God has removed my reproach. Joseph eventually became the firstborn among the other sons, the carrier of the legacy. God will use the opportunity. He won't bring the affliction, but he will use that discontent, that dissatisfaction, which must never be wasted. He will use it for his glory if you allow yourself to pray. So instead of mourning and complaining, why is my own like this? If you knew how your own really was like, you will never say that again. You will start dancing. You start dancing. Why do you think God will use us? The parents of Samson were also barren. So when it was time, when they sought God and God answered, instead of just any child, it was a special child. That's God's plan. So that situation that you've told everybody about, you complain to everybody, except God. Can I say except God now? I'm not talking about, Father, I believe, I confess, every solution center. You've been there. They give you water, give you biscuit, give you soap, coconut. God forbid, Martin. coconut for what? That's business. If you don't know, if I put signage at the entrance of this street now, slaying your Goliath, coconut breaking service. All of us here in our number, all of us will be ushers by next Sunday. Because you cannot have seats to sit. Come and see people of all shapes and color. And to make matters worse, we do fly of coconut. Now bring coconut on the altar here. Your life is about to change. No, it's about to be caged. What? Now, we're laughing about why do people desperately go? Because they are looking for God in the wrong places. They are looking for God, but in the wrong places. And some of them is the deception of not deciding to know God the true way that is leading them astray. We tell you, come and sit down and learn God's word. You said no. Because you are used to divination. You know what I mean by divination? They must rub something on your head. Since they have been rubbing, what has happened to your head? Nothing. Your head has still not changed. It's still the same thing. You've bathed in the river. It's not just, you see. Go through the normal process. Learn God's word. Let it affect you. Then come to God in place of prayer. Whatever is born that way, no man can take the glory for it. No man can take glory for it. Not one small baba somewhere. I'm saying you should come and visit. You didn't come and visit. Even your pastor can't take glory for it. When it's born through you, no man can take glory for such things. When it came out of that season of fastidious praying, glory to God. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. Isaiah 26 has run up. Verse 16. You get something this morning? Because we're going to pray shortly. In trouble have they visited thee. Notice, they poured out a prayer when your chastening was what? Upon them. What's the word chastening? To train up a child, to correct. You want to have some things, and there's delay in the environment, and God allows the delay. He doesn't do anything about it. He just allows delay. He didn't initiate the delay. He allowed the delays in the environment. He just allowed it. Why did he allow it? He's correcting you, trying to get your attention. Bible says, don't be as stiff as a mule. Don't be stiff-necked. He's trying to get your attention. No! I must go to US. He says, stay. Stay for now. I have stories to tell. I'm telling. I have stories to tell. There was a time, God's servant, I don't want to mention his name, a man who I get to respect, he said he was so bent on relocating because nothing in ministry was working. Now, even if you can enter somebody's suitcase, he will go. I'm telling you, say, if I can get a suitcase or sneak onto cargo department in the portion in the place, anything can just go. He tried to go for anything, just then when, you know, when that's the chase now, every avenue you are using was failing. If you're not in this way, have bad luck. Why is my life like this? The chastening of the Lord. He's trying to like, this way you are using is not good. Don't go this way. You know when you're telling a child, this sweet, sweet, sweet thing you are eating, it will cost me, I want. Donut, pizza, ice cream. After a while, have you noticed people that have sugar bites? They don't want to touch anything. That's what I've noticed. You've not noticed before. You don't know what I'm talking about. Children that take too many sweet things, any nasty with pepper, they don't want. Have you noticed that? So the sugar, that taste for sugar becomes like an addiction. They don't want to taste any other kind of food, and then the child's health issues begin to arise. Now we're having children under 20 having diabetes. 10, 11. Because of some of those things. So the child will not find it funny when you stop buying ice cream, but you have to stop. Now, why are you stopping? You love the child. So love can be tough. Hallelujah. Love is tough. Now, if you're a natural father and you don't want your children to have disease and you stop buying them, will they think you hate them? Yes. Be thinking so. Be thinking. I don't care about you. Be thinking so. You know that you love the child. If you like, think so. I'm not giving. No more snacks. Eh? You get to school. My daddy hates me. My mommy doesn't love me. That's your problem. You will soon wake up. You will learn when the child grows up. I was trained the hard way. My mother was the principal. She flogged. The one I'm supposed to take in the next life. I've already taken it. I told my parents, it's good for you to have a good name, but your good name made me suffer in this life. One day I left school. I went to Gomen College, by the way. The best school on the earth. I'm the one holding the microphone. You don't know. You see, Apostle is already beaming. So one day I just went with some friends. So I just tried to go copy them. Left school before time. Closing time. It was copy. I was doing. I don't have the liver normally. I just copied them. Let's go. We're not doing anything. Let's go. 11. As I entered the end principal at the gate. That's not the painful part. He carried us in the car to the office. There were four of us. So, as was about to punish us, what's your name? Dagunduro, 6-stroke. What's your name? Oyelami, 6-stroke. What's your name? Fadaro, 6-stroke. What's your name? Oyekon. Which Oyekon? I mentioned his name. Our former faculty officer in 1971. Come here. What kind of suffering is this? Give him 21 strokes. Ah! In your life. When your parents have a good name, it can be trouble for you. That is, their reputation will make people punish you more. We know your parents. They are not like this, so we cannot allow you to be like this. But the training I was given was such that, as you're looking at me, I'm very domesticated. There's nothing else I cannot do. As in nothing. There's nothing that I thumb up my nose. I just submit, a man cannot change pampas. There's nothing I cannot do, nothing. If you use them to wash your leg before, what is pampas? Pampas is nothing. I cannot touch. I cannot say, what's your problem? Why? Because the time the training is going on, you are angry. What's all this? I prayed to enter university for admission so I can escape my mother. I can escape going to the market. Can he look on my head? I can say, what's all this kind of? Are you spoiling a fine boy in the area? Going to be grinding pepper. Me. And I was like, my friend, go. But the training paid off. It did. So there's nothing I can't do in the house of God today. The first time I was trying to get God to speak to me, I didn't speak. What can I do? I started sweeping. When I took the one and began to sweep, he started speaking. I said, okay. So service is the key. I learned early. I don't come to the house of God and form big man. I'm not big at all. I serve in whatever capacity I'm given. Even to what anything you give me, I will do. If it's God I'm doing it for, I will do. It is those who are humble that need lifting. Those who are already proud, maybe you're already high. Stay where you are. You don't understand. Since you're already high, it's like your shoulder is everywhere you're going. Says, you don't need any help. You're already lifted up yourself. But say, humble yourself under the one mighty and God. And he won't exalt you in what? Due time. And there's hardly anything that shows a man's humility more than, Father, help me. Help me. I can sense it. I can feel it. I don't know what it is. Help me. Let the motions of your spirit through me bat these things. If I need to do without food, I'll do without food. If I need to do that, I'll do without in a minute. I just need to see this through. Help me. Help me. This is it. And he has never failed to answer that kind of prayer. But I can't continue the way I've been continuing. Israel must not remain as Jacob. No. Abraham must not remain Abraham. Sarah must not remain Sarai. Your true identity must come out. It is done in place of prayer. So as a prince with God, you'll have power with men and with God. And you what? You'll prevail. So satisfaction comes from those pursuits. And those are the realms where you're not asking for provision, but provision is coming. Men will seek you out where you are because you are on the same page with God. They will offer you things that others are chasing for. I didn't finish that story. So, Sam stayed. I mentioned his name now. So he now stayed. He didn't go. He stayed. He stopped struggling to go. He stopped struggling. So as he labored where he was, his primary goal initially was to become rich. Then notice that when he became rich, he was satisfied. Then when he now began to make other people successful, he now became successful. He was now happy. That is, there was this, that is helping people, helping men. Now became a passion. So he changed. So the first time he was invited to the country, he was struggling to go through. He never went to the embassy. They sent for his passport. They stamped it and returned it to him. That was the first miracle. The next miracle was when he landed. You know, when he didn't start with economy, he started with first class, your first flight. And then when he got to the place, a limousine was waiting at the airport. He took him to the hotel. See, that was the first time in his life he was going to enter a hotel without using his key card. When he got inside, he was forming big man until the people that brought him protocol, when they left, say, I lay down on the rug. He said, Father, I'm sorry it took me this length of time to learn your ways. Because God whispered to him, which one do you prefer, your method or my method? Your method, they were struggling. My own, there's honor. You came on the platform of honor, you didn't struggle. Choose one. Your method or my method. I said, Lord, your method. He said, every time I tell you to wait, wait. Every time I tell you to wait, do what? Wait. Wait. Pray everything out. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be what? Be known. In everything, by prayer and supplication. Not by mumming and complaining. Pray. Pray. Pray until you and God are on the same page. Until Anna and God agreed. I need a priest, you need a son. How would you know that Anna could not remain barren? When she gave God Samuel, she had five other children. Five others. The kind of God that compensates in a way that you cannot fathom. Yet the only reason why we know Anna today is because of Samuel. We don't even know the name of the five other children. So it was not about barrenness. It was about God telling you through redemption. As soon as what? Zion travailed. What did she do? She brought forth. This Saturday, be at the prayer meeting by 8 a.m. Your life depends on it. The desire depends on it. Don't let your place in God, don't let it be empty. Be here by 8 a.m. It's time to pray, not business as usual. Yes, we're praying Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But there's more praying to be done. Because what ails you and what you're meant to do won't go in 30 minutes. It can't be solved that way. The same way no woman can carry pregnancy for 4 weeks and say it's over. No, you're just starting. Rise to your feet. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Father, I pick up your will. I pick up your plans. I pick up heaven's agenda concerning my life. In this season, I lay aside every weight. I lay aside every weight. It is not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. No, time and chance that happens to all happens by the Spirit of God. May the right burden, the right thoughts, the right conception, may it before you this season. May you arise in the passion of God's ability. May new thoughts, fresh concepts, of God's plans and purpose, may those things be made manifest in your heart. So that you won't walk in your own way. You walk in his way. You walk in his will. You walked in your way so far. How much have you prospered? What about his way? What about his will? What about what he wants to do? Through you upon the earth. Oh, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thought of peace and of evil, to give you a hope and an expected end. That's what he wants to do. You will need to agonize in prayer. 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 I can't remain this way. I can't stay where I am. I'm discontented. I'm dissatisfied with the status quo. There is more you have for me. There is more you have for me. I'm not here to warm the pew or to warm empty chairs. No, no. I'm not just occupying space. I'm meant to be alive. I'm meant to be alive. Serving heaven's purposes. Serving heaven's purposes. So in the name of Jesus, I yield myself to the motions of the Spirit, to my Father's plan and my Master's roses. All this in and out kind of Christianity, this in and out kind of Christianity, it won't work in the days that we are in. It won't work in the days we are in. In these days, you need to be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. It won't work. It won't get you by. It won't get away or get by with it. Being casual. Let the passion of Jesus grip your heart. Let the bodies of heaven take hold of your soul. Breast to Hubraste Fretikala Gigishik. Igusso Braste Fretikalana. Engrustafranagatine. In Kapuro Kibreke Siso Brokoste. Ebroko Kafrestik Siso Breseke. No, it's not meant to be this difficult. It's not meant to be this tough. No. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. There's a bringing forth. You are meant to bring forth this season, not by struggling, but by laboring God. By laboring the rest of God. Oh, I'm no longer satisfied with the status quo. I'm no longer satisfied with business as usual. I step into higher things. I can't continue the way I am. Oh, Brastekere. Fola Krike said, Lord, I need your will. I need your plan. I need your purpose. I need to walk fully in tandem with you. That your will may be my will. Your way, my way. Your pleasure, the desire of my heart. Delighting in you alone. Thriving in you alone. Pressing into you alone. Leaving mundane things behind. Reaching out for the deep. The deep calls unto deep. Reaching out unto depths in you. Depths in you. Besto brakatana gata. Lendro kuko shebre kusto. Ungre paste frede katile gata. Enum roku go shembro kukistia. Engugumbro stafra katile. Oh, pressing into much more. Pressing into much more. Reaching out for the fullness. Reaching out for your fullness. No longer selfish. It is about what you want to do. It's about what you will. It's about your plans and purposes. It's a pattern. Koko Christo. Lumbro kike freste kele kike tele gachte. Elenso broko kavra dangatia. Elena kumu. Mingrosta brother Gatia. Hey Kaba. Engrokusta bragati nege. Enkuboko keke se preste kelege. There's a way that seemed right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seemed right to a man, but the way of life is above. Follow preste kada. Enguko brasto. Engo broste frata kate. Elindro komosh. Ele grugrosta frata katine. Ei krasumuruk. Ele brukati le braki ke giste breste. Le subraka tambriko tu. O pugolianga kaki ke sete. Ei ba. Enga braka ki ke kusubruko te ligarai. Ena mundro ko ki ke giste sebrech. E krastebor. E krastebor. E krastebor. E krastebor. Ele subrosta frata katine gete. The burdens of God falls upon us this season. The spirit of grace and supplications falls upon us this season. The spirit of grace and supplications falls upon us this season. We pray out your will. We pray out your counsel. We pray out your plans. We pray out your purposes in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we fast forward divine purpose. In the name of Jesus, lem rooster for gatine kitted. Hey, Christus supplication. Our assemblies are full of new converts, disciples, men raised for Christ. Oh, Pastor Kalia, no longer are we at ease in Zion. Oh, Pastor Fredika Langa, we lay aside every weight. We have services. This place overflows with people, men, women, and children. Every single service. Lestro Braka Stifre Kitania. Oh, hungry for God. Hungry for more of God. Hungry for more of the things of the Spirit. We see this assembly full, overflow, multiple services, every single gathering. In the name of Jesus, this is your will. This is your plan. Ele Brusta Fraga. We see it come to pass in these days.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. We praise you. 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 Oh, we praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are doing in our midst. Thank you for these days. Thank you for these seasons. Thank you for your plans. Thank you for your purposes. Oh, we receive burdens. We receive travails in the place of prayer to push out your plans and your purposes. Thank you for what you have shown us. Thank you for the privilege to be on the page with your plans and your purposes, to be sensitive to the season and the times. As an assembly, we bow before your will. We say, Lord, walk through us, walk with us, and walk in us your perfect will. Let your plans and purpose find full expression in us. In the name of Jesus, we arise to that place of supernatural responsibility, of spiritual responsibility, to take hold of heaven's agenda and to bat it upon the earth. Help us in the place of prayer. According to your word, let the spirit of grace and supplications be poured upon us afresh. Wherever we are, let the burdens come. Let us be quickened on the inside. Let nothing else take our pursuit. Let nothing else be our desire this day and this season until your will is done. Let it be that the true identity of this assignment is shown forth. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you praise. We pray for strength for every man. We pray that every spirit of lukewarmness, slothfulness, and slumber be taken off every man. In the name of Jesus, we pray for opportunities that were once lost to be recovered. We pray for divine restoration, that in this season you will show yourself strong. You show yourself strong in our individual lives and corporately. In Jesus' precious name, amen.